Like to continue tonight, please, by turning to the Gospel by Luke. Gospel according to Luke, we're turning to the chapter 14. Let me give everyone, repeat the welcome given. We're very glad that you've come and we trust that you'll be blessed tonight around the Word of God. Luke's Gospel, chapter 14, reading please from the verse number 7. And he, that is the Lord Jesus, put forth a parable to those that were bidden when he marked how they chose out chief rooms, saying unto them, When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honourable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, Give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, Friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Then said he also to him that bade him, When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen nor thy rich neighbours, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot repent thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper, and bade many, or invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done, even as thou commanded, and yet there is room. And the lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. And God will bless the public reading of his word to our hearts this evening, and we look to God for his help in the closing moments of this gospel meeting. I would like to use as our text tonight in the gospel, Luke 14 and 7, Come, for all things are now ready. Come, for all things are now ready. Now, we had just an hour or so ago, downstairs in this very same building, we had what you might call a good supper, and it was a good supper, and we're very grateful for it, and we thank those who provided it on such an occasion as this. But tonight I want to speak to you about not a good supper, but I want to speak to you about a great supper, the great gospel provision that God has for man in the person and work of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now the setting of the little story that we've read, the parable that we've read, is very simple. The Lord Jesus Christ, God's eternal Son, Luke records the lovely story how he came from heaven, conceived in the womb of the Virgin, born of Mary, born in Bethlehem, brought into this earth. And Luke brings that story to us, the wonderful story. Indeed it is the sweetest story that has ever been told. And so Luke gives us the record of the life and the ministry of the Lord Jesus, God's Son, here on earth. And Luke presents us the Lord Jesus as the perfect man. And as we will see in this chapter, wherever we trace the steps of the Lord Jesus, that perfection ever shone out. He is the master of every situation. He's the perfect man. And as we'll see here, he's the perfect gentleman. And I want to say already in this little message, dear sinner in the meeting, if you're not saved, you need to get to know this man, because you need this man to be your personal Savior. We commend him to you, the Lord Jesus, the one who can be your Savior. And God's desire is that you would not only get to know him as Savior and Lord, but having trusted him, you would learn to be like him and to become like him. For the salvation that we're preaching, and the salvation we're preaching tonight, is not only a salvation from the wrath of God and salvation from eternal loss, but it is a salvation that includes eternal blessing. And what a wonderful salvation it is that we are preaching to you tonight. Now the Lord Jesus here, he speaks to those in the Pharisee's house. The whole setting is the Pharisee's house. And he speaks to, the Lord Jesus speaks to the guests. And then he speaks to the host. And then someone says, wouldn't it be wonderful to eat bread in the kingdom of God? That's the setting. Now to the guests, he said. He says, when the next time you're asked to a feast, don't be trying to get the top table. Just take the lowly place. And then you will be exalted. And to the host, he said, the next time you're having one of these big parties, don't only invite those who can invite you back. Just a little gospel application here. The host of the gospel invitation invites all. Invites all. And none can repay him. None can repay him. And what about the guests? We're going to see tonight that you're invited. But I want to say this, that you'll need to take the lowly place as you come. It's the road to blessing. The road to blessing. Now they're all seated there and someone's enjoying the meal and they turn and they say, it would be wonderful to eat bread in the kingdom of God. Now perhaps this man knew something. Knew that everything in this life and his own life was temporal, that is, it was passing away. And this man, I judge, begins to think about eternal things, about eternal realities. I wonder, is there someone here like that tonight, that you're beginning to think of eternal things? About your soul? About eternity? About heaven? About hell? I wonder, are these the things that are interesting you? You realize that maybe you've had the supper, but these things are really only temporal things. What about the real things? What about eternal things? And so the Lord Jesus begins to speak from verse 16, and he speaks unto them this parable. Dear one, here's a word for you tonight. The Lord Jesus speaks about a great provision. The provision of a great supper. A certain man made a great supper. Let me just remind you this. Just saying to one of the sisters in this hall just a few moments ago that there are certain people that think that good suppers just somehow appear. And some can never trace it to the fact that someone spent some energy and spent some effort and spent some money for to provide a feast. Dear ones, I want to speak to you about the gospel. There is a tremendous provision that God has made for sinners like you and me. But before the invitation can be given, preparation must be made. And there is cost involved. And you would also know also, taking the cue from the supper we have just had, that the host bears the cost. The host bears the cost. And I want to consider the great gospel feast. Dear one, tonight it is God's gospel. It originated in the heart of God. And to provide the feast of everything that is required by you and me, as fallen, sinful, guilty humanity. And that is exactly what we are. And we have read from the Holy Scriptures this evening how it all came into be and how it came into the world. By one man's disobedience, the many were constituted sinners. And we're all sinners. But God has provided a salvation for sinners. For fallen, guilty, sinful humanity, you and me. But there was a tremendous cost to the provision of the gospel feast. Friend, tonight I want you to know that it cost God everything. It cost God everything. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's how much it cost. God spared not his own Son. That's how much it cost. It cost the Lord Jesus everything. Earlier on today in this hall, the Christians who know and love the Lord Jesus were gathered to remember him. And we remembered what a wonderful person he is. And we thought of the glory that he had before the world was created. Because it was all created by him and for him. And we thought of the glory that he had before the world was, and we thought of the steps that he took. Down from the glory, the Savior came. Down to this world. Sin and shame. To Bethlehem, to Nazareth, to Gethsemane, to Calvary, to the cross, to sufferings that were unimaginable, to grief that's indescribable, to depths that are unfathomable, the Lord Jesus went. It cost him everything. And rightly the hymn writer penned the words, Jesus paid it all, all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washes it white as snow. Jesus paid it all. And he paid it with his precious blood. Says the Apostle Peter, we are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. Oh, what a provision there is for sinners. What a tremendous banquet is laid. Dear one, tonight, remember it was provided at infinite cost. Infinite cost. And that's why those who know and love the Lord Jesus and who know anything about the gospel get deeply, deeply upset when people start speaking about getting to heaven their way. And oh, how it must grieve the heart of God. I'll do my best. My friend, tonight, your best isn't good enough. All our righteousnesses, all the very best things that we've ever done, says the Word of God, they're like filthy rags in the sight of God. Oh, don't come with your good works. Don't come with your religions. Don't come with your resolutions. There's a banquet of love. There's a banquet for you tonight. But you must come as you are, a poor lost sinner, bankrupt. But I want to tell you that not only there's tremendous provision, great provision, and great cost of providing it, and on that gospel banqueting table, there is everything that you need, everything that you need. There's forgiveness of sins on the table. And dear one, tonight you need your sins forgiven more than you need anything else in this old world. You need your sins forgiven, because if they're not forgiven, they're going to take you down into a lost eternity forever. But thank God there's forgiveness. There is forgiveness. God does say, through the blood. And your sins can be blotted out and removed far away as the east is from the west. There's justification on this table for you. What does that mean? It means you can be made right with God. In the very courtroom of God, you can be constituted righteous. There's redemption on the table. What's that? It means I'm set free because you're in bondage. If you're not saved, you're in bondage. In bondage to sin and Satan. And you need someone to set you free. There's redemption for you. And there's reconciliation for you. If our brother had read in that more fully in that chapter that he read, you would have heard how God drove out the man because of the sin of man. But you can be brought back into a relationship with God again through the death and shed blood of the Lord Jesus. And these are all through the blood. Oh, there's a great feast provided. There's a loaded banqueting table. There's tremendous cost and provision. And the cost is all borne by the host. But there's not only a great provision, there's a great invitation. Come, for all things are now ready. Oh dear, when the work is all done, the price has all been paid, the work is finished, the banqueting table is spread, and the invitation is going out, come, come, for all things are now ready. That invitation is great in its scope. He says he invited many. I want you to know, dear one, tonight, whoever you are, wherever you've been, whatever you've done, I want you to know that you're invited to come to the gospel table. There's provision for you in Christ. The Lord Jesus has died, provision has been made, and God is inviting you near. Great in its scope, great in its sincerity. He really means you to come. I sometimes have had invitations through life, and they're given in such a way that you would really wonder whether you were invited or not. There's absolute sincerity with this invitation. Dear sinner friend tonight, young one or old one, he's saying to you, come. I've done all the work, the provision's all made, the table's spread, will you come? And it's great in its simplicity. Great in its simplicity. Now come with me, please, to verse 17. Come, for all things are now ready. People sometimes, when I speak to them on their doorsteps, they tell me, the Bible's too complicated. You can speak to me at the door of this meeting and tell me what part of come you don't understand. You see, the Bible is absolutely clear. It tells you that you're a sinner. It tells you that God is righteous. It tells you that the work of salvation is all done. It tells you that the invitation is come. Now don't come. Now don't come to me and say it's all too complicated. What part of the word come don't you understand? A child could understand it. And if there's a dear child here tonight and we're glad to see you, if you're hearing the Savior call, dear little one, it's time to come. Come when you're called. Come when you're called. Maybe he's called you before. It's a young lad in the Old Testament, Samuel was his name. And God called him. He never came. God called him again. And God called him again. Dear young one this evening, if God's calling you, it's time to come. Now, unless I'm greatly mistaken, you've heard the gospel before. This isn't your first time you've heard the gospel invitation. Not the first time you've heard of the great provision that God has for sinners. Why don't you come? There's a dreadful possibility, you see, the old man of God said to Samuel, if he calls again, there's no guarantee that he would. And dear younger soul in the meeting tonight, if God's calling you, it's time to put aside all the nonsense, and it's time for to come. Time has gone. Back in 1974, as a young lad, just a couple of months short of my 10th birthday, by God's grace I came and partook of the gospel feast. That's 44 years ago. And I'm still enjoying the feast at the banqueting table. Sinner, it's time for to come. There was a great rejection. We'll draw this all to a close. There was a great rejection. There were excuses made. The excuses were great, but they were only great in their folly. The land and the property, that's permanent things. One day you will be gone, and the house and the land and the property will all be left behind, and your soul will live on. And the five yoke of oxen, that's passing things. That's business things, pleasure things, too busy. Well, one day, all these things will pass. You've got God to meet. There was a man who said, I've married a wife and therefore I cannot come. That's personal things. And that's the lamest excuse of all. Family time is important. Family things are important. Marriage is important. But there's nothing more important than salvation. And don't let anyone, be it father, mother, son or daughter, or wife as well, don't let anyone keep you back from God's salvation. That's a lame excuse. Because you'll meet God yourself. And anyway, it was a really foolish excuse. Take a look at the invitation. Sometimes they sit there on the mantelpiece, don't they? And we really need to go back and have another look at it and see what it really says. What does it really say? It says, come, for all things are now ready. It doesn't say that you've not to bring your wife. It's just an invitation for to come. You know what? The wife and family can come too. They need to come themselves, of course, but the wife and family can come too. And again, I say in this meeting, whether it be father, son, father, mother, son or daughter, you're all invited. There's provision for all. There's an invitation to all. And there's room for all. Do not participate in the great rejection. Come when you're called. And there was a great acceptation. Who came? Those who felt their need. Those who felt their need. The poor and the maimed and the lame and the halt. And they came from city and from country. From country lanes and city streets. They came from the north and the south. And thank God they came from the east and the west. They recognized their need and they came. And I love verse 22. Here we'll close. I was so glad to be preaching the gospel. And we can say it again tonight. And yet there is room. Yet there's room. The door is still open. The invitation is still going out. Dear one, tonight you've heard it one more time. Oh, that you would come. Just come as you are. Come in all your need, and come and avail yourself of the wonderful provision that God has made in the person and finished work of the Lord Jesus. Come, for all things are now ready.